Speak to us again, O God, by the power of your Spirit. Tell us what you have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, selected verses from 1 through 21. It can be found in your pew Bible in the Old Testament section, page 194. We see many interesting things in this passage, one of which is that God does have a plan for each of us. But sometimes we must act courageously to follow his plan. We must act courageously to serve God in the manner which he only understands. Joshua believed that God would fulfill his promise to take Jericho, so he did what any good general would do. He sent spies to check out the land. The providence of God directed the spies to the house of Rahab, a seemingly unholy person who would likely not protect them. But God knew what was best for them. Only God knew that Rahab was the one person who would be true to him, who would actually help the spies when the king came calling. Rahab put her faith in a God that she wasn't even supposed to believe in. God called on Rahab to serve, and she responded. As we listen to this story today, perhaps we might ask ourselves if we listen to God in our lives when he pushes us in seemingly strange directions. Are we courageous enough to say yes when he opens doors which we thought were closed, when he points us in directions we thought were not realistic, and when he asks us to serve in ways which we thought not likely? Are we brave enough to act like Rahab? Now let's listen to God's word. Joshua sent two men secretly to Jericho as spies, saying, "Go, view the land." They went and entered the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But Rahab took the men and she hid them. She told the king, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where they went, I do not know." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them. Before they went to sleep, she came up on the roof and said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that dread of you has fallen on us. The Lord our God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. Since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you will deal kindly with my family. Spare my father and mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you and your family when the Lord gives us the land." Then the men said, "We will be released from this oath that you have made us swear to you if we invade the land and you do not tie this crimson cord in the window and you do not gather your family into your house. If any go out into the street, they shall be responsible for their own death. But if a hand is laid upon any who are with you in the house, we shall bear responsibility for their death. But if you tell this business of ours, we shall be released from this oath." Rahab replied, "According to your words, so be it." She sent them away, and they departed. Then she tied the crimson cord in the window. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What an incredible story. The context of this story is so amazing when you consider what Israel has gone through up to this point. The Passover, the Exodus, the wandering through the wilderness, the death of Moses, among many other circumstances and situations that popped up. Their faith was confronted. Their resolve was challenged. their commitment and trust were tested. And within this context, we find this story. This story where two spies sent by Joshua, Israel's leader, were sent to get the first glimpse. Where they find this woman, Rahab, a prostitute, yes, but a woman whom they trusted to hide and protect them as they were trespassers in a foreign land. While the spies are there, their presence is leaked, and the king of Jericho sends orders to Rahab to release these two men. It's at this point that Rahab puts her life in jeopardy. Rahab tells a lie in order to protect the two spies of Israel in exchange for protection of her and her family. Rahab is used in an integral way by God in the story of God's people. Rahab's name, in addition to being remembered through the retelling of this story, is also one of the four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in the first chapter of Matthew. Rahab is remembered for her bravery. Rahab is remembered for her faith. And Rahab is remembered for her good works through the protection that she provided. Throughout Lent, as a church, we have been looking at women in the Bible. And although Rahab was not a member of the Jewish nation, she demonstrated her faith in God through service and selfless actions. Personally, I find great hope in this story of Rahab. In this story, we read of Rahab being presented with an opportunity to trust. And in this story, we read that Rahab was also confronted with the choice of where Rahab would place her faith. This past week, I found out that I have been selected to serve as an active duty Navy chaplain. Knowing my past, there are ways in which I can sympathize and absolutely relate with Rahab's character within this story. As some of you may know, I did not grow up attending church. In fact, I didn't grace the doorway of a church until I was about 17 years old. The first time I started to attend church regularly, I was on staff as a pastor. Rahab, we learn, was put in a position to trust, but I believe that she wasn't 100% sure that she knew what she was doing. And I would also venture to bet that she wasn't 100% confident in what she was doing either. I know from experience that I wasn't. You see, growing up, I never had a dream. What I mean by that is I never knew exactly what I wanted to be. I've always enjoyed being around people, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I wanted to do something that helped others. But I didn't know what capacity that would be in. I looked into teaching, I looked into counseling, I looked into coaching, but none of them seemed to fit quite right. When I was a junior in high school, I first heard the story of Jesus Christ, of his atoning death, and the redemption and hope that he offers to all those who believe. I first heard the story of a God who loves me, and things started to make sense. Knowing that there was a higher purpose for my life and that as a believer I am called to live a life of service for God was exciting and it was illuminating. I knew my purpose was to lead a life of service for the glory of God. Even so, I've always felt a little bit like an outsider. As an undergrad, I completed college as a commuter student, never making lasting connections with my fellow classmates. Upon graduating college, I served as the youth pastor at the Army War College, a wonderful experience that first exposed me to the military lifestyle. But even so, I was still a civilian serving in the military. For seminary, I traveled 2 hours each way to complete my coursework so that my family wouldn't need to move and uproot our lives. Throughout my life, I have felt more like an invited guest than a valued member. The opportunity to serve my country as a chaplain in order to join a mission and a camaraderie that is greater than myself while also serving a faithful God and caring for the spiritual needs of my fellow sailors is what first excited me about joining the Navy. This opportunity has been on my heart for the better part of the past decade. As the youth pastor at the Army War College, I researched the possibility of becoming a chaplain candidate and being prepared for active duty chaplaincy while doing my seminary coursework. But the timing wasn't right for my family. Upon graduating from seminary, I again spoke with a recruiter about becoming a military chaplain. But with young children at the time, my wife and I didn't feel like we were prepared or ready to make that leap. Then about 2 years ago, a Navy chaplain, Chaplain Diana Lance, who I had the honor of attending her retirement ceremony this past Friday, a complete stranger in that moment, came up to me and complimented me on a sermon I delivered from this very pulpit one morning. And it was through casual conversation, and I swear to you, with no agenda of my own, that I shared with her that the path of a military chaplain was the road not taken. And at that moment, she shared a phrase with me that stirred my soul, and which I believe was symbolic of the Spirit's movement in my life. Chaplain Lance said to me, "It's never too late." Since this conversation, there has been lots of prayer, lots of conversations, and even more discernment, but God continues to affirm to me and to my wife and to our entire family this calling on my life. God is at work. God is at work in me. God is at work in us. God is at work through us. We never know when someone like Rahab may be tasked with trusting and having faith in a way that they may not feel prepared for or capable of. We never know when a chance encounter with a stranger who becomes a dear friend will change the entire trajectory of our life. So as I end this morning, I want to end by saying this. Pastor Chip was originally scheduled to preach this morning, but he allowed me the opportunity to share with you once I received news that I was selected to the Navy. And then our pastors' meetings that followed, it was offered that I could change the scripture if I wanted to, that for a message that may better suit my call story and reflect the message that I wanted to leave you with. Because some might say that Rahab may not be the clearest biblical teaching to teach when detailing a call or for someone to share when they are sharing their personal story. The exact quote in that meeting was, "Unless, of course, the story of Rahab somehow puts a nice bow on your call story." This is an example of pastor humor, which I personally love. But, as I've mentioned, my first job out of college was serving as the youth pastor at the Army War College. And my first day on the job, the chaplain at the War College gave me this Bible, which says the Holy Bible and U.S. Army War College at the bottom. And as he handed it to me, Chaplain Carter said to me, "Use it well." One of the things they ask the youth pastor at the War College to do is to take his youth or her youth on a retreat to West Point to see that institution and possibly get the students excited about the opportunity to attend college there. So one weekend every year we'd go up We would go to a football game on Saturday, and we would attend worship in the cadet chapel on Sunday. And it was during one of these trips that I had the privilege of hearing Dr. Charles Stanley preach in the cadet chapel. And I share this information with you for two reasons. Number one, right inside the front cover of this Bible, I made a personal notation. The notation is dated October 31st, 2010. It says, Dr. Charles Stanley preaching at West Point in the cadet chapel, followed by the words, I've heard God's calling to be an army chaplain. May I be a faithful disciple. Now it's Army but Navy, but you get the point. Navy, not Army. I apologize. Sorry, Chaplain Lance. But I share that story for one other reason. The scripture that was used in the cadet chapel that morning, which is also noted here, was Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, a text that is only 9 verses before our pre-selected scripture lesson here this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I do not know where this calling or where this journey will take me, but I know my life is not my own. My hope is that we all may be encouraged to trust. Trust in each other. Trust in the movement of the Spirit. Trust in God's provisions. Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May these words bring us hope and strength, both now and forevermore. Amen.